side over here. Yeah, I'll be all right. If I get to shout and spell, I'll be okay. Rest of you turn, in you, if you would, in your scriptures to Romans chapter 10 as we continue on. Romans chapter 10 as we'll be looking and continue on. And the title of this message, Howard Woodring said, I've never seen a message with beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Now, if I asked you this question, Layla, you going to come preach? Okay. If I asked you, you know, there's not a lot of pretty feet, okay? I know you ladies clean them up, and you'll even put designs on your toenails and all these things, but there's not a whole lot of feet that are very beautiful, are they? Lee said his was. But listen. I want us to think, and we'll flesh this out, beautiful feet, and we'll talk about that. But let me ask you this. There's not anybody in this room right now that does not enjoy receiving good news. Because everybody loves to hear good news, right? We love to hear good news. And I'm going to tell you, our media, our news, makes their business off of bad news, don't it? You can turn on the evening news, and you get pretty depressed pretty quick, can't you? In fact, a lot of you probably say, you know, I'm just not going to watch it anymore. Every time I turn it off, I just feel worse. But listen, I want you to know that there's a good news. And we'll see that Romans 10 last week as we shared about Paul finished up, if you remember, in chapter 13 where he said, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want us to keep that verse in mind. And let's stand to our feet and reverence God's word. And let's read Romans 10, 14 through 21. Romans 10, 14 through 21. The Word of God says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out all over the earth, and their word is to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Let's pray. Father, for just a few moments, thank you for your presence that we already feel. We ask you, God, be manifest through the preaching of your word. Touch hearts for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you remember what we've done as we've got into 9, 10, and 11 of Romans, and we saw that Paul is reaching out and speaking to his Jewish brothers, Israel, and how they had rejected Christ and the message of Christ. And we saw in chapter 9 that was God's sovereign election. We learned about God's sovereign election and how we saw that. We scratched our head and wondered how that worked, but he said that God had chosen Israel. But then we get to 10 and we think, wait a minute, but Israel had a choice. And so we have that God's sovereignty, that man's his free will choice. We have that tension all throughout the Scripture. We see that. We believe that. How does that work? Man, that's in the mind of God that, hey, Israel, yeah, God chose Israel, but guess what? They'll never stand condemned because God didn't choose them, but because they chose to reject Him. I want you to know that this morning. Nobody will ever stand before God and say, hey, it was because we didn't know or because God didn't choose us. It's because they reject the message of Christ. And we'll see that as he goes on. And as we get to this point in chapter 10, he is so fired up. He's told them how to be saved. He's told them what it looks like. He's talking about professing with our mouth, our memory verse. And he goes on to say, and believe in our heart that God's raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. And that great statement of verse 13 where he says, oh, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then when we get into this point where he's talking about Israel's, how they've rejected the gospel, I want us to think about some beautiful feet and how important it is for us in our walk with the Lord that evangelism, the good news, it should be pronounced and proclaimed by each and every one of us. And so I want us to see about evangelism being the part of every believer in this room's heart. If you're a believer, evangelism should be a part of your life, and we'll see that as we get to that today. So I want us to think about, let's look at some truths that are necessary for evangelism this morning. And the first is, who is supposed to proclaim? Whose job is it to proclaim the good news that we talked about? That everybody loves to receive good news. Whose job is it then to proclaim the good news? I'm glad you asked me. Look what it says in 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Paul, I want you to see Paul is showing us that this universal offer of the gospel, do you understand that? The gospel is, Jennifer, when you and Chris went over to Africa, guess what? The gospel's the same in Africa as it is in America. If you go to Russia, it's the same. It's a universal offer of the gospel, the good news of the Lord. We see that it's for all people. It doesn't matter race, creed, what color you are. We're the ones that have a hang-up, by the way. For God, it's all level. And it's a universal offer to all people. And so we'll see that. But then, if it's a universal offer, then it's everybody's responsibility, we'll see, to proclaim it. Men cannot call on a Savior in whom they have never believed. And to be sure, they cannot believe in Christ in whom they've never heard. And someone must take the gospel to another person if they're ever going to be saved. In order for his hearers to understand the necessity of evangelism, Paul's going to ask four consecutive questions. I want you to look at the first one. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Because he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how are they going to call on him? He's talking about Israel, and he's really dealing with them. And his heart, we saw that. He said in verse 9, or chapter 1, let me slow down. Chapter 9, verse 1. See, that's much better, isn't it? He says, I wish I could be lost that they would be saved. And then he goes back in 10. He says, brethren, my heart's desire in verse 1 and 10 that the prayer that Israel will be saved. His heart is for his countrymen to come to a saving knowledge of Christ, that which they have been rejecting. And so he says, how then shall the first question tell they call on him and who they've not believed? Calling on his name presupposes that they know and believe in his name. There's many people that believe in Jesus. You can attest to that. You're living in the Bible Belt. Everybody knows and believes in Jesus. But it's more than just believing. It's understanding and a faith that changes one's life. If everybody in this community that said they believed in Jesus really believed in him, man, we'd be having a utopia. We'd be having an awfulest revival you've ever seen. Wow, wouldn't you like to see one of those, by the way? Wouldn't you like to see God show up and the Spirit of God to fall on a place? If we profess it, we got to possess it, okay? We can't just say that we know Jesus and then we leave out these doors and we just live any old way we want to. That's not salvation and that's not believing. And he's talking about that. That he understands this belief that what? Easter's coming. Easter's not about a bunny and eggs and all these things, which are fun little things, but Easter is about a Savior that was crucified on a cross. That's the ugly part of Easter, by the way, but there's beauty in it. He died and was buried. Third day he arose. The third day he arose that man can have this belief that his sin, that which is inside of every person, that yearning and that longing, if you don't have Christ, you have this, that yearning that you're looking for something, some kind of fulfillment in life, and you'll try everything the world has to offer. And let me tell you what the world offers. A Judas joy. A Judas kiss. Oh, it looks like your friend. Death there looms, my friend. How can you say that, preacher? I know I've lived everything the world had to offer. I'm not bragging on that. But I'm glad that that's my testimony. I can say, you know what? I've walked your path. Try mine. Woo! John knew I was one of those people that never felt fulfilled, that never had this longing. And I always looked over and thought it'd be a different person or some more fun that would bring me fulfillment. Guess what? It never will. You've got to find your identity, your fulfillment in Christ and Him alone. And Paul's saying, how are they ever going to believe? He's speaking of that saving knowledge of believing and transforming their life, which is interwoven. If we believe, guess what? It's changed our life. Second question, what does he say? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And so it's just as believing is logically before calling, so hearing is logically before believing. You've got to hear it before you can believe it. We can all understand that and grasp that, can't we? Someone has to do proclaiming to others before they can receive it. People will not believe in Jesus until they've heard Him speaking through the messengers and the ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, we are ambassadors of who? Christ. As if we are, God's imploring through us. God, we represent Jesus. And He's imploring others through us. That's what He's called us, each and every one, to be. And so He says, how can they believe in whom they've not heard? Well, who's got to take it then? I'm glad you asked me. Look at 3. How shall they hear without a preacher? I knew it was that preacher's job. I knew that's what we pay him to do. Guess what? You don't pay me to do that. I do it because God called me. And He just happens to take care of my needs through that. Boy, what a blessed man that I am. But that is not the preacher's job just to proclaim it. Well, then whose is it? Whose is it? Let's see what it said. The word preacher, actually that in Greek, it means one who heralds a message. It was a herald. You know, before mass media, before Facebook, I know some of us can old enough remember that. Twitter, Instagram. We can't do anything that everybody don't know about it now, right? But before that, you know what the herald did? The king would proclaim something from the kingdom. The herald would come into the square of the city. And you know what he'd do? Hear ye, hear ye. Let me tell you what the king's got to say. You know what he didn't say? Well, I'll just live out what the king wants me to do, and they'll know the message. Some of you need to open your mouth and proclaim why it is that you do the things that you do. The herald would come and proclaim. And so this word here is not just talking about a preacher, although preachers are called and sent, but every one of us. In fact, when we read the Great Commission in Matthew, what's it talking about when it says, as you go, making disciples, it's as you're being sent, as you live. Students, that's tomorrow at school. Guys, that's at work, wherever your job might find you. Mom and Dad, that's at home with the kids. We are to proclaim the gospel. True Christians are committed to world evangelism. True Christians are committed to world evangelism. Why? They grasp the magnitude of the message. And they've been sent. And we'll see that. In 4, look what it says. All people need the gospel. 4 said, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Here's the deal. We will never be an effective witness until we understand we've been sent. Who? Is that you, preacher? No, that's not just your preacher. That's you. Each and every one of us has been sent out. You say, how? When He saved you, He made you a mouthpiece to go out into a dark world and shine His light before others. He sent, and we'll never be affected until we grasp that. Well, I'm just not comfortable with that. Guess what? He didn't say you had to be comfortable. He didn't. And sometimes if you're one of those, if you're not a type A personality, which my wife understands, she's not, I just be bopping, talking to everybody. She said, can't you shut up one time? I mean, I'm always trying to find this person to talk to, you know, and all. Why? That's my personality. Guess what? Everybody's personality is not that way. It's not the world according to Dave. And so I understand that. But in my world, that's how it is. But there's other people that are quiet and they're soft-spoken. That's okay. Find your place. Find your place. Guess what? That same media we talked about, social media, Facebook, be a social media missionary. Proclaim the gospel through the social media. proclaim it. If it's giving a track, if it's just, hey, in Jesus' name, doing something and in His name and saying, let me tell you about Him. Do whatever it is that fits your personality. Do it for God's glory. Why? He sent each and every one of us. We're sent out as we go, as you're going. It doesn't matter how many diplomas you hang up on your wall in your office. That just has nothing to do with it. You can have a wonderful personality, debonair good looks. Yvonne said, I runt myself. You're runt. You told me, Ron, you said that haircut, you ruined yourself. Let that grow back out. That's all right. I said, Yvonne, I'm glad I'm not finding my self-worth in you, my honey. Because if I was, I'd be devastated. Look, I can. Is it messed up? No, it's not. But listen, it doesn't matter about what you have, who you look like, your personality. None of those things are fit into the mold. They don't equip you or they don't excuse you from sharing the gospel, from being an evangelist for the Lord, for being an effective witness. Our message is the good news. We must share it with all men. Listen, there's an estimated 81 million evangelical Christians in the world today. What would that look like if we got on the ball and began to do what God's called us to do? What would that look like? Here's the deal. Let me just bring it down. What about the fork here? What if each and every one of us grasped it? I want to challenge you. It's a quarter of the year gone. 2017, if each person here would just reach another one. Just one. Just one. We're not setting some big high goal or something. Just one person. Just reach them. Just love them. Just invite them to church. Just share the gospel with them. What would it look like? My. You say, well, I tried. No, go to the next one. If we just grasp the magnitude of what He's called us to do, we got to be an effective witness. Share the good news. Think of the possibilities. We must be an effective witness for Christ. But lastly, I want you to see, what are the results? What are the results of being sent, going out? And look what it says in verses 16 through 21. But they shall not all obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses said, I will provide for you. I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask me. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. You know, if evangelism is made up of this successive stages with heralds being sent and ending with sinners being saved, how was it that Israel missed that? God's chosen people, and that's what He's saying. How was it that they missed this great message of the gospel? I want you to know, as your pastor, the offer of the gospel, it will be rejected by many. By many. So I'm not sending you out thinking, hey, you just do it, and they'll just all flock in. Would to God that it was so. Isaiah, when he's called in chapter 6 of that great book of Isaiah, when he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and before it's over with, he's cleansed his lips, and he's saying, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, send me! You know what he said? I'm sending you out to people that will not hear, have deaf ears. Did Isaiah say, well, I don't want that ministry. I'll just try another, Lord. Send me somewhere else. No. You know why? We're not responsible for the results. We're just responsible for carrying the good word, the seed. You hear that old analogy? You heard me talk about fishing, Lee. I even thought about fishing. Man, I'm a hunter, and so I just fish to get by the hunt season. I thought about fishing because it's got warm. I did. I thought about fishing a little bit, getting my old rods out and getting them ready. How about every time we went, Lee, if we caught a fish every time, do we catch a fish every time we go? After we caught 4,000 or 5,000, it'd get old, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. know you fish and you cast that line and you reel it back in and you fish and you cast some more, and guess what? You don't catch one on every cast. But it don't stop you from fishing. God's called you to fish. He's not called you to catch, okay? He does the catching, by the way. And you'll never hear me say, how many people did you win to the Lord this week? Why? That's God's word. How many people did you share the gospel with this week? That's when you're successful, okay? Sometimes he allows you to do some harvesting. Boy, that's some good. We're going to get to see today. Baptist is filled up. Sometimes he lets you harvest, man. Ooh, that's so good when it happens. But you know what? You just keep casting. You keep sowing the seed. He does the harvest. Because the truth of the matter, someday we're going to give an account. We're going to stand before God Almighty. Do you understand that? And your apathy and your complacency, I promise you this, will drive you to your knees then. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. And all he's called us to be is to go out and represent him and to share that gospel. And we're going to stand and give an account for how well that we do that before a living God. He says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Proclaiming leads to hearing, and hearing to believing. It's not your words, not your opinions. It's his word. Live it and proclaim it. Live the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. Not your opinion. We don't have any trouble sharing our opinion, do we? Oh, my goodness. We've got plenty of them. That's not what's going to change the world. It's his word. Sharing the gospel, the good news. I love what he says. Then he says in verse 18, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Then he quotes Psalms 19:4. Very unique. I love Psalms 19 because it's about creation and about the word. God's two greatest things, that he's the book of creation and the book of his word. And he makes this comment of 19:4 when it's actually talking about creation, and we have this general revelation. I was in the prayer room. We had a great prayer room, by the way, at 9:30. And I was in there, and the ladybugs were up there on the ceiling. I was fascinated with that. Why? I just like bugs. I like being outside. I go, all right. I was looking at those bugs. You know what the Lord said? They're glorifying me. How? They're being a ladybug. Right there. You can find creation speaks of his handiwork. All around, we was looking at the cardinals right outside our window, eating the bird seed with the kids. So glad that both my kids are here today, and Dusty's birthday. And man, I'm just thankful. We were looking at the cardinal thing, and look at how beautiful that red, that bright red, and that orange beak, and the black around his face. And only God could create something that beautiful. He says creation speaks of it. You can go out and look around at creation, but then he makes his statement: their sound has gone out to all earth, and their words to the end of the world. And what's he talking about? Listen, the gospel messages went out to Israel. You know what it's through? You, the church now. It's God's great revelation to the world about the gospel. It's the church of God that he sent out. And it speaks of the magnitude and magnificence of this great God that we serve. Is he great in your life? Do we just sing about him being good? Or do we live it out in front of him every day? Psalm, man, the psalmist. And then he goes on in 19, he says, did Israel not know? And then I love this. Who's he break out? Moses. And the great lawgiver. The law. He says, Moses, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish people, a foolish nation. Who's that? Look around. He's talking about the Gentiles. That's us. This was not a chance happening. Israel said, hey, this is all about us. If you remember, we study. We have the law. We have the prophets. We have God's word. It's just for us. And he looked, and God, Christ comes on the scene, and he starts saving everybody, and they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. And you know what he has to say, right? He said, look, why can't you handle it? It's been in your word all along. Old Testament authority, the authority of Scripture. That's the unity of the Old Testament, New Testament's all over. And Moses said, this would happen. So why is it taking you by surprise? What will happen? Right here in South Fountain, Ford Baptist Church, in March 2017, a bunch of pig-eating Gentiles would be gathered to worship the Christ, the King. It's not just for the Jew. It's for all men, whoever calls on the name of the Lord. He's saying it was there. You guys missed it. I love that. That's the law. And then what he does, he quotes Isaiah, the prophets, law and the prophets. Man, their entire Old Testament. is pointing to this thing that would happen. What is it? I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. I don't know about you, but when Christ came into my life on a Wednesday nights are special to me, by the way. February 28, 1990, a friend invited me to church. I don't need church, a bunch of hypocrites. Say one thing, live another. I party with most of them. Why do I need to go? Went and heard the message of Christ. I wasn't looking for him. You know what he came? He showed up and found me. Listen, and when he got a hold of my life, you can ask my kids. I never said, I'm going to grow up and be a preacher one day. Yeah, it's funny. Laugh. It's okay. God's got a sense of humor. But when I turned my life over to him, I found a plan and a purpose that superseded all my American dream. Hello? And you know what he did? He ended up made me a mountain man. That's right, self-proclaimed. I grew up off mountain. It don't matter. I'm self-proclaimed mountain man. He made me your pastor, and I count that a great privilege. Why? Because it's not in my worthiness that I stand here, but in the worthiness of the name and the great King and God, Jesus Christ and His Son. That's the only way I stand before you and preach His Word. All day long, He says, I have stretched my hands out. He finishes off with Isaiah. I have stretched my hand out to what? A disobedient and contrary people. Israel was full of the knowledge of the good news of Christ, but they did what? They willfully rejected it. All rejection of Jesus Christ is willful. I want you to know something today. If you're a lost person and you're sitting in that chair and you say, hey, you know what? I've heard it. Then I just don't believe in it. You're willfully rejecting it. Period. Period. It's not what you cannot know. It's what you will not know. It's what the Scripture tells us. Why? Because it just doesn't fit up with your plan. And you're what you think fun is. And it's the Judas joy of the world that's keeping you from coming to know the real joy of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was full of these predictions. There's a lot of people like the Jews that they don't receive the good news of Jesus Christ. What kind of person are you? I heard about somebody come down with cancer again this week. You hear about it all the time. You've heard me talk about this before. What if we had the cure to cancer? What kind of person would we be that we sat on it and didn't share it with a world that's just eat up with cancer? What kind of person would we be? And yet we have something that's greater than the cure of cancer, and that's the gospel. That brings some people from death to life. From resurrection of the dead to resurrection and life. From going to hell to going to heaven to be with Christ forever. And we don't share it. What kind of person are we? You say, what? Let me just bring it down as we're finishing up here. Every second around the world, two people die. You hear it? Two more. In the time that I preached a 30-minute sermon, 3,600 people died, most of them without Christ, right now, in your world. Does that not break your heart? And all He's done is He's called us to go out and proclaim the cure to one out of one of us that's going to die. And I promise you it's going to matter then. Two more. When are we going to get off of our blessed assurance and our apathy as the church of God and take for serious what God's called us to do? Proclaim the gospel. Why? The world's dying without Christ. And He's called us to share Him. I'm going to have you guys come up and play, and we're going to have our invitation time right now. Come on up. Some applications, and we'll be done. And then we're going to have our baptismal service. Joy, just make your way up here with invitation time. Number one, what's your game plan? So what are you talking about, Dave? Aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You don't have a game plan, you won't do anything. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be intentional. You've got to go out and live your life for Christ. Intentionally make a plan. Say, what are you talking about? When I leave in the morning, when I step out these walls. I'm intentional. I'm looking for the opportunity to share. Number two, do you really grasp the magnitude of your responsibility? Again, hear that second ticking off. Who's responsible? We are. Number three, who do you know that you need to share the good news with? Don't put it on. Let's stand on our feet as they play. What has God said to you? I'm not going to tarry long. What has God said to you? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Listen, it's not what you will and what you cannot know. It's what you will not know. You choose to reject Christ when the message goes forth and you hear it. God's calling. You don't know Him. Come and receive Christ. Greatest thing you'll ever do. What about, you know, God's showing? Can't get away from that. Pick it. Two more. And I really go through my life just doing my thing. And don't think about my responsibilities under the Lord. What about somebody you know you need to share Christ with? As soon as they start singing, come forward. Whatever God said in your heart, lay it down.
So loving and so true, so powerful.
Wednesday nights ago, in that old snowy, nasty night, we didn't even have church, Joey texted me on Facebook Messenger and said that he had been chewing on the sermon, Romans chapter 10, the one before this, and God had really been working on his heart. Had a good friend that passed away that day, and at his funeral, he said that he'd got right. He'd lived a rough life, but he got his life right. And he said, hey, the only way you're ever going to see me again is if you get your life right with Christ. And then the preacher gets up, and guess what he preaches? Romans 10. Yeah, that ain't coincidence. And he said his heart was just changed. Listen, this is a man that said he's went to church all his life. You can go to church all you want. You hear me? You can go to church all you want. But it's that Holy Spirit of God got a hold of his life. And I just went over to his house, and he just prayed and confirmed what had already happened. He was a child of God before I got there. I said, we're just confirming what's already happened in your heart. But I'm anxious to see what God does with him and Kelly and little Joseph. But he wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And so we're gonna baptize him. Joey, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Then by that testimony, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, I'm just going to finish right. Well, I'll come down since I'm back here. No, I'm not way up. Look, ain't that nice? Georgia's changing that. Boy, it's good to be in the Lord's house today, hadn't it? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for coming and leading us in worship. We're going to stand to our feet. Dean and Jenny, you come on back with us to the back. And Caleb, listen. Be the mouthpiece God's called. Listen, hear them seconds ticking. Two more. God help us. Lee, close us in prayer.